Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Janelda, for leading us again. We really appreciate it. You did a great job. Good job in choosing all those choruses, too. That was super. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. That's where we're going to start out today. So in our church family, over the last little while, we've been talking about the theology of suffering, which means to be able to view suffering from God's point of view. What does the Bible teach in the broad perspective? And as we appreciate what God does in terms of this, then part of the issue is I have a change of perspective regarding God and how he walks me through suffering and so on. So this has been a series that we've been doing. And maybe I could have done this message before we started there, or it could have been one that, as I'm going to do it right now. So we want to talk about today the issue of the fear of death. And I was thinking of Hebrews chapter 2. As you know, this is a little portion of the scripture that I look at fairly often, and it's down at verse 14. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, and he says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death." There it is. It is Jesus' purpose and his will to break the power of him who holds us enslaved by the fear of death. And today, as I'm talking through this, there's going to be a mixture of, like, what does the Bible teach about being delivered from this fear? But also, I'm going to mix it with a degree of testimony of myself or other people along the way. So here we go. When we talk about being delivered from the fear of death, one of the things I'd like to start by saying would be this. We have a need to approach death by being prepared. And prepared is a big word. I was raised in a Bible-believing church on the East Coast. And at that church, though it misbehaved at times and still does misbehave, and there's issues of disobedience going on, nonetheless, it taught what God says and the truth as was presented in the Bible. And particularly, the church exists to present the truth about a great Savior and overcoming death. And so even as a child, I learned about truths like Genesis chapter 3, where man chose to disobey God. They rebelled. They brought upon themselves the death penalty. Life was not pleasant from that time forward. So I knew right from the beginning that the answer to why is the world the way it is, well, you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and a very clear truth is that the soul that sins, it will die. And you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. The wages of sin is death. This is what God has said. And as a child, I learned this truth and thought about it very intently. Another truth that was presented to me that is that behind the fact that we watch death happening all over the world and we watch suffering, there's a cause. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where we're told that the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have a predator. He stalks us. He doesn't love us. His intention is to take us down in death and destroy us. And we could refer to physical death, even emotional death, because all through the New Testament, when Jesus was involved in casting out demons, not just the emotions, but even the very presence of demons caused emotional health to decline. It brought about demon possession, things that Satan laughs at and couldn't care less as to how much we suffer. But even beyond the physical and emotional or mental health is the issue of eternal death. And so death is a major thing. And Satan just wants to take us down. Nonetheless, I also learned in that Sunday school, in junior church and in that church, that the Bible says that God so loved the world, that means you and me, that he gave his one and only son. And so Jesus came and he proved, as we read here from Hebrews, he proved that he could defeat the devil. That's exactly what he did. He broke the power and he brought about a release from the slavery that we have had on planet Earth regarding the fear of death. And so Jesus came to save us from death. He came to save us from our sin. He came to save us from ourselves. That's what I learned as a child growing up in a Bible-believing church. This is what this church stands for as well. What's interesting is that as I knew this, it was at 7 or 8 years of age that one evening I responded to all this good news about Jesus, and I received Jesus as my Savior. It was at that moment that I was prepared to die. I was prepared to meet the Lord. And so it is our need this morning to be prepared when it comes to facing death. And that preparation comes emotionally, physically, even eternally, by having a relationship with a person called the Lord Jesus Christ. It was at that time that I understood, according to Ephesians 2, that I was dead in a relationship with God because of my sin. And I walked according to the ways of this world. And I was directed by the prince of the power of the air, the evil spirit that now works in those who are disobedient. I was responding to Satan much of the time. Jesus was not my Lord. But that evening, I became aware that Jesus was Lord. And I changed masters. I asked Jesus to save me. And at that point, he forgave my sin. He became my Savior. And I was prepared to die. I remember going home, and my dad, who was not empathetic until his dying day about spiritual things, and I can remember even in the kitchen looking up at my dad and saying, "Dad, I got saved tonight." He ignored me. I wasn't going to give up quite that quick. I said, "Dad, I got saved tonight." He ignored me again, and I can tell you, till his dying day, I never gained his approval in terms of me taking responsibility by God's grace to prepare for eternity. But nonetheless, I affirm this morning that at that time, I was prepared to die. Do I want to die? No. No more than you do. There's such a spirit in us that God has put that it longs to live and it wants to live forever. But through Jesus, we prepare for eternity. And so I say this to emphasize that even this morning, the command from Amos chapter 4 in verse 12, where it says, "Prepare to meet your God," that command remains firm. God invites us to prepare for death. I've done that. I know that if I were to die at this moment, that I will go to be with Jesus. In the passage that Janet read this morning, Jesus sat down with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a very religious person. But one thing that came out in that conversation that Nicodemus did not have was a being prepared for the kingdom of God. And Jesus twice, if God says something once, we need to take heed. If he says something twice, he really is emphasizing a need. And he said to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." So that just nullified all his belief that he, by following the Jewish system, following religion, trying to be good before God, trying to be faithful, thinking that he could attain for himself eternal life, that belief was false. Jesus said to him, "I thought you would understand this being a teacher. Nicodemus, you need to be born again." And he was talking about the fact that as we are born into a physical family, so we need to be born from above, into God's family. And that comes about by recognizing that Jesus is the Savior. I changed my mind about my own ability to achieve approval before God on my own. It is not by works of righteousness which I have done, but it's by His grace that I can be saved. And I recognize that I need to receive Jesus by faith and ask Him to be my Savior. In chapter 1 and verse 12 of John, it says that as many as have received Him, to those God gives the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in His name. And so today I just want to affirm that as I approach death, I am prepared. And I think my question today is, because I recognize that as we all approach death, we need to be prepared. And it only comes through being born again, through entering God's family with a relationship with Jesus. And so my question quite simply would be, are you with me today? Are you with me in this? I was thinking of some great texts of Scripture. The fact that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. Are you more than a conqueror through Jesus who loved you? I was thinking as we just sang, you know, victory in Jesus. Thanks be unto God, 1 Corinthians 15, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking back to May the 10th, 2005, when the day before my heart surgery, I was at the nursing home and telling them about God's powerful hand and how that tomorrow morning I'm going to be in the hand of some of the greatest surgeons in the world, and they're going to do a robotic-assisted bypass, and all the seniors gasped, and I said, "Whoa, what did I just say? I am in God's hand. I am prepared to die. I am a reality-based thinker. I may die tomorrow morning on that table at 8 o'clock, but if I live, I win. If I die, I win." Do you have that confidence? Are you prepared today with me to meet the Lord? Have you been born again? This is how we approach dealing with death without fear. It comes through a relationship with Jesus. I would also say that as we approach death, we need to do it by prayer. Because as we noted, none of us really wants to die. Now, I've seen many seniors get to the point that they're overwhelmed with tiredness or overwhelmed with sickness to the point it is time to go home. There's just nothing left. So that is a reality. But I'm thinking of the fact that as we make the journey toward death, as we approach any other issue as those who desire to be Christ followers, it is done by prayer. Whatever decision, whatever wisdom I need, I'm walking through life day by day, talking to God about it as I approach those issues. And so prayer becomes just a habit, a developed habit. It's like a spiritual muscle so that I am able to walk with God. And walking with God toward my day of death, it's just another issue among umpteen million that I may deal with in this year. So I'm suggesting that from a Christian point of view, I not only have no fear of death because I'm prepared through a relationship with Jesus, but also along the way, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And so I need to walk with Him in prayer as I approach the day of my dying. We've been talking recently about this whole issue of suffering. And none of us wants to suffer. But last week we talked about that hymn that says, I know not of good or ill that is reserved for me, of weary days or golden days, before the Lord I see. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day or to that day when I'll go to be with him. 2 Timothy 1:12. And so today, when we talk about praying, it's affirming his presence. It's affirming his provision every step of the way. I think Psalm 23, and often I'll read this in a funeral because it is so practical to us. And as I go on, it's like the affirmation. As I make my way toward the day of my death, unless the Lord comes back, I affirm the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, or King James, I shall lack nothing. And he's the one who is able to lead me to green pastures and beside cool waters. And he makes me to lie down in places of refreshment and getting rest. And he restores my soul and he guides me in paths for his glory and my blessing. This is the type of God I have. And this God does not change. He is not fickle. Because even though I may, you may, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there I am able to affirm, you're with me. He's with me on all those good days. He's with me in those valleys. And it's the confidence of the sheep in a shepherd that is able to say, even there. And I've walked with many believers through the palliative process where they have been able to latch on to their preparedness in knowing Jesus for death. And that has become their focus. And they've been able to rejoice. But I'm telling you that some of those palliative processes have not been easy. And we would not want to demean or belittle the pain that many people go through on planet Earth. But where there is prayer, they are able to affirm, even there, you are with me. And so I believe that as believers, when we acknowledge James 1 and verse 2, as we've been over these last number of weeks, we have and we will face trials of many kinds. And that may involve a believer seeking to count it pure joy when they do the walkthrough of a valley that's not pleasant. And let me just go out on a limb here and let's go even beyond us, because I'm not talking about the pain of a big toe. I'm not talking about fighting the pain of cancer necessarily. It may be even greater pain when we experience the chronic pain of holding a child whose body or spirit has been disabled with a disease. In the New Testament, certainly the presence of demons, and I'm not saying that all disease is demonic. Don't take me down that road. That's not true. But the presence of demons in the time of Jesus and a child's body being racked with pain and frothing, you know, how horrible. And yet there are some diseases we would say are not far from that. And even as we've walked with Jace through his journey, none of us wants to have to hold a child in our arms and walk this route. Or it could be being victimized by abuse or war or tyranny. Like we talked about in Hebrews 11, some of God's people, tremendous victory, and they brought down kingdoms. Other of God's people were sodden too. And they met their Maker. And they were convinced that He would keep His promise. And God gave them dying grace. I think that there are many parts of the world today that believers are being persecuted. And we sitting here with our painful hangnail or a painful cancer or our painful family situation, or we know nothing of what many believers in the world are going through today because of tyranny and rape and war and children being taken and killed and slaughtered, and just like old times all through the Scripture. We know nothing, but I still affirm that we approach death as believers through prayer. It might be that we don't understand everything, but when we don't, a good place for us to go is the Garden of Gethsemane, because it was there that someone called Jesus was unjustly arrested, and though He did no sin, it was the pain and the punishment of our sin that He would endure. And it was emotional. Father, take this cup from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but Yours be done. And it was so intense that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And an angel was sent to minister to Him, doing the walkthrough of the valley that was before Him. And I believe that God sends angels. And I believe that God helps us. All I'm saying is, observe this, that Jesus approached His death by prayer in Gethsemane. He walked with God. He was going to die. And yet He approached His own death confident of resurrection. He knew the end. He knew that God wins, that He won. So, again, we approach death through prayer. So because I'm prepared to die, I can approach death by prayer, as is my daily habit. So I'm asking you again, are you with me on this? I believe that this is what the Bible teaches. This is what I've experienced. And I never lost an ounce of sleep worrying about whether I would die on Wednesday morning, May the 11th, 2005, as I faced surgery. Because all the things that I had believed in through the years came to bear on that moment, and I had grace. I was prepared, and I was in prayer. Let's have one more issue. As we approach death, there is a need for us to do it with praise. And all I'm going to do is mention that in the Scripture, in 2 Peter 3, the believers, they were to eagerly grow in their faith and not just become lax. And they were not to forget that they had been saved from their sin. And they were to do it with the greatest confidence that one day, in verse 13, they were going home. And so the truth is, we praise God, because even in death, I'm going home. I'm going home. And heaven is a tremendous word to the person whose body is racked with disease, who feels the weakness of aging, who has done the walk through, who knows the journey. But there comes a time, as Solomon says, there's a time to die. But we go immediately into the presence of Jesus. I so like the poem that Ken Martin put in our bulletin this morning. Read it after. Don't read it right now. You're still listening to me. But read it after, okay? The issue is, I'm going home. And the split second I leave here, I'm there. And that's what I've been looking forward to. I was thinking of Philippians 1, where Paul, he's sitting in a prison. He's not quite sure he's going to be delivered or is he going to die. And he says, you know, the reality is, I am going to glorify God if I live. I am going to bring honor and I'm going to glorify Him even if I die. And I have seen God's people, Christ's followers, honor God in their death and how they died. And I could take you back, as we have mentioned multiple times, to Valerie Brown, whose body was racked with cancer as she lived among us. And when Ernie and Glenn and I walked into her living room to pray over her one Sunday morning, we walk into her house and the music is blaring and she's singing to the Lord, and she was dead in a week or two. She went to be with Jesus. But we experienced a believer approaching death with praise. I told you a few years ago about my friend Reg Potter back in our former church in Hamilton. Met Reg in the Royal Bank one day. Reg is about this high in front of me. And he's up well into his 80s or his early 90s by this time. A lay preacher. Hard of hearing. I walk up behind him. Reg! He turns around with his eyes just glowing. I said, "How you doing?" He says, "I am one day closer to being with Jesus. He taught me to die." There's so many believers, Edna McGregor, people who've taught us how to die. And they died with a hymn of praise on their lips, with a spirit overflowing. "I'm going home here." No fear in death. Now, are you with me this morning? This is where I stand, not just because of my beliefs in my beliefs, but my beliefs in the Scripture. And I believe that this is God's will for every believer here. Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. Here I stand, and I certainly want each of us to feel that security and that sense of being able to affirm, "This is where I stand with God." And so we're going to stand together and sing our last hymn. It's a great old one. Actually, this is a brand new one. It's a modern hymn. And when I titled our little time today, "No Fear in Death," you'll notice on the last verse of this modern hymn, "In Christ Alone," you know, "No guilt, no fear." And this is a hymn of affirmation. And this is how we're going to sing it. Let's stand. That's where I stand. That was a good hymn. We appreciate that. Again, please take the time to look over the charts of names out there. Sign up if you were willing to distribute letters. Or if you have another name that should go on there, please do that. Please sign the card for Ethel and for the Marlings out by the mailboxes if you'll do that. We hope that you'll stay and have refreshments with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great the Father's love for us. We thank you today that we have every assurance because the promises of God are true. And we've been able to face death head on through a relationship with our Lord Jesus. Help us to live in such a way that the quality of our lives has changed because of settling eternal issues. Help us, Lord, to know the security of being held in the Father's hand. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.